Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Europa League quarterfinals preview. Jimmy Conrad, James Bench. We give you a parlay partay. So many good games to look ahead to. Europa League preview begins right now. A week unlike another is finally here. The Masters returns to Augusta National, where Dustin Johnson will defend his green jacket. Go join the First Cut Golf podcast, where the entire crew is previewing this year's tournament, from storylines to picks and even daily fantasy advice. The First Cut has you covered. The First Cut Golf podcast is available wherever you're listening to this pod. What's up, everybody? Welcome to Qué Golazo, our Europa League preview. Jimmy Conrad, how are you?
I am wearing an Arsenal scarf and a Villarreal jersey. I don't know if that makes me some weird fan, but I'm okay with
that. You are that guy.
I know. You know what? Actually, I'm okay with being that guy today because I want to see this matchup in the semifinals. I want to see Unai Emery get his revenge against the team that sacked him. I'm here for that.
I'm 100% with you, but I have somebody here that might sickos. Not want that. James Bench, how are you?
Absolute sickos, the lot of you. What is wrong with you people? Thank you. Thank you for having me on the Europa League podcast. I think we all know by now that, honestly, Champions League weeks are only just like the amuse-bouche to Europa League for me.
The dress rehearsal, that's right.
Let's talk Hankook, baby.
I love it. Well, welcome, James Bench. Welcome, Jimmy Conrad. Welcome, everybody. The Europa League, as James Bench said, for some, it's probably an even more entertaining competition just because of the diversity of clubs here. And let me just break it down very quickly for you. Arsenal, Slavia Praha, Granada, Manchester United, Ajax, Roma, Dinamo Zagreb, Villarreal. Wow, just really some good games here. Where should we begin, everybody? Let's talk Arsenal. Let's talk Arsenal. Because we have some news that already came out. James Bench reporting, Mikel Arteta confirming. What do we have here with Kieran Tierney, James Bench?
At least 4 weeks out. So that's pretty much, it's definitely the quarterfinals, probably both semi-final ties if Arsenal get that far. I mean, the way Mikel Arteta was talking about it in the press conference, it might even be that he misses the final. It might even be that he misses the Euros for Scotland. Now, I think that's all really talking worst case scenario, but Kieran Tierney is, for his all his excellence, he is a player that has struggled with injuries in the past, and that's the greatest sign that someone will struggle with injuries again in the future. He is also massive to the way Arsenal play. Not only do they not have a proper left back, it will probably be Bukayo Saka and Cedric sharing duties over the next month, but he's their leading chance creator in the Premier League and the Europa League. He is the man that brings the best out of your Emile Smith-Rowe, your Sakas, your Aubameyangs with his overlapping runs. He is an outstanding crosser of the ball. Mentally, he is exceptional. He is the one player you know at Arsenal will not give up on any lost cause. I don't think this will really cost them too severely against Slavia Prague, although they're a much better team than they get credit for. But, this is a hammer blow for Arsenal, one of the worst players they could lose. And Martin Odegaard's a doubt as well.
I just wanted to say that you forgot that he tucks his shirt in. He respects the old school, Mr. Tierney. And he had a huge goal against Olympiacos. I think that speaks to your point that it looked like, not necessarily the game was in the balance, but his goal really kind of gave them the energy to go on and finish that tie off. So.
Yeah. We also have some other injuries too, right? David Luiz, what's the latest on him? What's going on?
Oh, I meant Benfica. Did I say, I meant Benfica.
Well done. Good note there. Good editing.
Thank you.
What else is going on with Arsenal very quickly, Bench, as they look ahead to this Europa League quarterfinal?
Yeah, so as I reported on, was that Saturday night? Straight after the Liverpool game?
Yep.
David Luiz was due to go for surgery. He has been for surgery. Arsenal are being really, really quiet about recovery dates. From what I heard from people close to the sort of medical team, that's an injury that could rule him out potentially for the season as well. So you've got the two players basically that are the most important in how you build play. In Luis, still an excellent ball playing centre back, even if he does go walkabout sometime. And Tierney, this is massive. This is going to be really, this has made the remainder of the season really tough for Arsenal.
Yeah, it's going to be difficult. Jimmy, your thoughts just on the fixture itself, I guess, as Arsenal look ahead to the quarterfinals, but also as we look ahead to the Premier League as well, but specifically right now for this Europa League matchup.
Yeah, I would say that it gives me pause for their back line, that Tierney's out, David Luiz is out. Whatever you think of those guys, there's something about consistency and having the same players run out and getting being around a certain system and understanding their movements, right? When you're playing with the same players, there's a rapport that gets built, an unspoken rapport that gets built based because you know on how they move ultimately. And when you have to make decisions in split seconds, it's nice to know the guys around you. So I think it'll be a big loss for them. They haven't had a clean sheet in 13 consecutive games. The last time they had a clean sheet was January 30th against Manchester United. So I don't think they're going to have another clean sheet against Slavia Prague, frankly. Gabriel was not good against Liverpool on the weekend. I don't think anybody really stood out. And I guess I have a question for Benj eventually about Pierre-Emerick Aubameyang and whether if Smith Rowe come back into the team and Saka as well, do you drop Aubameyang? I don't necessarily blame him. He can only do so much. I mean, if he's making great runs and people don't see it, what is he supposed to do? And I thought he did make a couple of good runs against Liverpool that didn't get rewarded. So that's a big conversation. And yeah, I got some thoughts about that. But with regard to the Czech team, I just want to say they're on a 21-game unbeaten streak. They haven't lost since the turn of the year. They are on fire. They took down Leicester City. They took down a very impressive and very good Rangers team over two legs. And I know a lot of that is being overshadowed, and rightfully so, with the racial stuff that's going on. And hopefully that gets addressed in a very meaningful way so that we can continue to eradicate that type of behavior.
And he's not playing, right? But it's
because
he's injured.
Yeah, quote unquote injured. But I also want to say they're missing their number one goalkeeper. He got smashed in the face by Kamar Roof, and he's out. And so they have an 18-year-old who's in goal now, who has only started two league games, and that was actually the last two league games. They won 4-0 in one, and they got 0-0 in the other. So he's got two clean sheets, and obviously he came on for the injured goalkeeper at the back end of that Rangers game and didn't give up a goal. But still, he's 18 years old, and I think that gives Arsenal some opportunities just to pepper this guy. However, nothing would be more Arsenal than for them not to get any shots on goal against Slavia Prague, right? So they're missing one of their starting defenders. They're missing their very good goalkeeper. And I think that does play into Arsenal's hands a little bit, but they got to pepper this guy. They got to test him. If the ball's out wide, they got to whip it in to see if he's got the confidence to come off his line and make plays. Will Arsenal actually do that? Man, that's the big question with those guys. They're so inconsistent. You just don't know. But really, this is their only competition to play for. And they've overall been pretty good. That said, they did lose to Olympiacos. They just lost to Liverpool. It's not like they've been lighting it up recently. And now we're back on. Is Mikel Arteta the right guy? You know, and that's a shame because I do like Arteta. And I think the culture that he's building will end up bearing some fruit down the line. But Arsenal have to stick with him. And I think that's the big question mark, whether they will or not.
Well, in the Europa League, 15 different players have scored for Arsenal this season. That's the most unique scorers of any side this season. So that says something about this 18-year-old goalkeeper. But to your point, Jimmy, and Bench, you can add here, you know, one of the things that worried me about that loss against Liverpool was that, you know, Arteta keeps saying, you know, we're not quite there yet in terms of my vision. We're not quite there yet. And that's fine. I don't know what that vision is. Like, it's not possession-based at the moment. It's not super physical, which is fine. So I'm just trying to fit. Is it because just the inconsistency and also the injuries? What do you expect in the Europa League? Because it has been a different narrative as well. They are in the quarterfinals, which is a big deal.
Yeah, it's okay. I mean, you know, it's the bare minimum. That's Arsenal, isn't it?
Yeah, that's true. Such a James Lynch response. Though. Yeah, it's fine.
If they're in the, you know, this is Arsenal, the second richest club in the competition.
Yeah.
And the team, a team that should have won it already and should have aspirations of winning it this season. I think, you know, that Liverpool game, this is what we tend to do, particularly, you know, in the big games, we blow them out to mean big things. And we blew that out with Liverpool. I thought Liverpool's back, baby. Might not be. Arsenal were just diabolical. They just played dreadfully. And sometimes that's just the explanation.
Worst game of the season?
Worst game of Arteta's reign. Worst, not quite the worst game post-Wenger, and we'll talk about Emery in a bit. But
it's up there.
It's right up there.
Yeah.
I mean, I think Arteta has a tendency to just not kind of stick to things that work and to overcomplicate a little bit. But I think he will learn. With Aubameyang, it's, you know, you play him at centre forward and he is what you would expect from a 31-year-old Pierre-Emerick Aubameyang. He's still getting in good positions. His XG's been really high since Christmas. But you know, if you have him tracking Trent Alexander-Arnold, what a waste of time. What a waste of his qualities. I think, you know, they are getting places. They would like to be a possession-led team. I think they really needed that creator, that person to dictate play from inside. You know, they're going to play quite what we consider quite classic modern Premier League football, overlapping wing backs. There's some interesting tactical things they do, but he doesn't even say we're close. He says they are really far away, and they are. They need a new midfielder, they need a new centre back, they need a new right back. You know, they need a lot, and that's why they need to win this tournament.
Don't we say that every season with Arsenal? Like,
yeah,
I feel like that's the same rinse and repeat.
Oh, I completely agree.
They need a center. They need a center back. They need a striker. It's like the same thing every season. It's pretty funny, actually.
I think you see the steps in the right direction. Gabriel, he was okay against Liverpool. At least you could see there was someone that could eventually defend against Liverpool. And he's only young. Partey looks great. You just kind of need, it turns out you needed players to partner them. Mm-hmm. It's a long way off, but I think there's talent. I think there's talent on the coaching staff. And I think in the end, the key thing on and off the pitch is Arsenal have been constantly churning, rebuilding executive level. They've had Sagne, Mislintat, they've all come and gone. You need to just, you just need, even if it might be the wrong plan, you just need to see it through a bit further and build a sort of common understanding of what it is you want from Arsenal. But he needs to get that Champions League money. He needs to win this competition. It's going to be tough. Simmer is their top scorer, the right winger for Slavia Prague, and he's going to be attacking a left flank that might be Saka, might be Cedric. Mm-hmm. That's going to be really hard. I think this game is going to be tough, but look, you know, Arsenal have the quality to win this comfortably, and they have the quality to win the tournament. But we'll
they do. About. What do you think, Jimmy? And finally, ended with your betting lines, because we do have some other games as well that we have to discuss.
Of course. Well, like we do, and I think our audience actually welcomes it, we have a little parlay parte, the La Fiesta Parliesta on Thursday. So, James Benj, welcome, my friend. Bienvenidos. I want to
hold on. Do I have a parlay parte music?
We need
some. No, that's applause.
We'll figure it out. We'll figure it out that.
All right. Talk to me, Jimmy.
This is the one that when I look at all the matchups, I feel like you could say, well, you know, Manchester United should beat Granada. I know we'll get into all these games. Villarreal should beat Zagreb, and Ajax Roma's a little bit on the bounce. But if I'm looking at a draw, I could see Arsenal completely pulling an Arsenal here and drawing 1-1 against Slavia Prague and then having to go to the Czech Republic and having to get a result and maybe scraping by somehow in some late Aubameyang goal so that everybody's back on the Aubameyang hype train. You know, it just feels like that type of season where they're going to somehow scrape it like they did against Benfica, where they needed a little bit of magic there at the end to get through. I don't know. That's the only one that I'm a little concerned about is, do I go with a straight up Arsenal win? That said, if I think about the 18-year-old goalkeeper and I think about some of their injuries in their back line, including the racist guy, I know he's still being tried. I mean, he clearly did something. And I believe the person that got offended by that 100%. So the racist guy's out and they've got an 18-year-old goalkeeper. Will Arsenal take advantage of that? Will Slavia Prague obviously make some adjustments? They've got two clean sheets, you know, since the Rangers game. I could see a 1-1 here. So this is the only one, everybody. If we're going to do a parlay with all four teams, and I think we should, I mean, that's part of the fun. I don't know. I want your guys' thoughts. If you guys can lean me one way or the other. Slavia Prague's not going to win this. It's either just going to be a draw or a win, I think. Anybody?
Oh, yeah. We're all thinking. I thought you were going to keep going. Did you like that? Da-na-na-na. There was a nice silence. No, I'm with you. I think it's going to be a sticky performance from Arsenal, but they're not going to lose. I think because just like Tuchel and Chelsea, and this, by the way, comes out after that game in the Champions League, so it might bite me in the whatever, but he's not going to want to concede He's going to want to keep it compact and organized and resilient, especially when they don't have the ball. So I'm with you. I'm going with a draw here. What do you think, James? Are you being more optimistic?
Yes, obviously. I'm going to go 1-0 win. I do think they can keep it tight. They're a better team.
All right, so parlay's out then, Jimmy. So James, are we
going to scrap this game then?
Well, let's keep going quickly on the other ones. Let's get
okay,
to
I'll do Arsenal to win, okay? Because I do want to see them play Villarreal in the next round, and I want to keep those positive vibes. So we'll say Arsenal to win. I'll say 2-1 is kind of where I was leaning before. Either 1-1 or 2-1 in favor of Arsenal, just because of that goalkeeper. They have to test him. And if he makes a mistake early, his confidence is to go down. I think they could get that second one. There you go.
All right, let's give Arsenal that win.
Okay.
Let's go next.
Whew. Where do you want to go?
Granada, Manchester United.
Okay, Granada, Manchester United, interesting game in particular. United cannot afford to come out in the first 45 minutes like they did against Brighton. Very lackluster. That said, they still showed some backbones, showed some character, and got some two late goals from Greenwood and Rashford to see themselves through. Granada are coming in off back-to-back league defeats. They're 36 points in La Liga, 10 behind sixth place, and 12 points above the relegation zone with 9 games left to go. They're pretty much in mid-table purgatory for the rest of the season.
Back-to-back league defeats, by the way. Sorry to interrupt. Back-to-back league defeats against a very average Valencia, by the way, as well. So,
And coming out of the break, they got slapped around by Villarreal 3-0. So I don't know about this Granada team. I'm a big fan of what Diego Martinez, their manager, has done to even get them in this position. This is the farthest they've ever been in Europe. That said, I feel like Ole Gunnar, are we down on him again? I don't know. It's just such a roller coaster. Very similar to Mikel Arteta at Arsenal. Is he the right guy? Is he not the right guy? And I feel like we run into that narrative quite a bit. I do think that Manchester United are excellent away from home. They seem to show something a little bit different when they're away from home. It's like they relax a little bit more and make plays. I just think they're going to have too much. I think the dream for Granada is going to be over. What makes me a little concerned is that Granada's won the first leg in their last two knockout rounds. So they beat Napoli 2-0. They beat Molde 2-0. And then they lost the second legs 2-1 and got that away goal or went through on away goals or needed that last gasp goal away from home to get through. But they've lost those two. They've actually only won 2 out of their last 6 Europa League games. They lost to PSV Eindhoven and they tied PAOK before rolling into the knockout rounds and won one and lost one in both of their knockout rounds, but did just enough to squeak through. I think the dream's going to be over. If they can score early, because you can do this against Manchester United and make them feel a little bit unsure of themselves, that's a possibility that they could do it, but I don't see them winning the first leg because of how good United is away from home. Though I do want to show a ton of respect for Granada to even get to this point.
Yeah. No Eric Bailey, James Bench, positive for COVID. No Anthony Martial. Aside from that, Juan Mata returns. So back to Spain for this one. What do you make of it very quickly before we make the decision on which way we're going to go?
Yeah, I was more intrigued by Granada because last season there was such a wonderful story and it was built on real defensive solidity. They didn't give away easy goals and that's pretty much exactly what they're doing at the moment. Losing 3-0 to Villarreal, losing to, as you say, pretty average Valencia team. I mean, they look like they're on the beach already. I guess naturally you raise your levels against Manchester United, but this Man United team are so good at punishing the lightest mistakes. They have this brilliant habit of getting goals that you just never saw coming. I think it'd be a real shame that, Granada aren't really going to be able to do enough. But there's a quality gulf. It's Bruno Fernandes against kind of a mid-table La Liga team. You have to go with Man United quite comfortably.
Do you think Ole Gunnar Solskjaer, though, Jimmy's looking ahead too much to Tottenham a little bit?
I think he might be. They are in second right now, just to catch everybody up on the table on 60 points. Leicester are in third on 56. They're way behind Man City. I think that's pretty clear. They're going to win the title this season. But yeah, they still need to scrape a few more wins, I think, to really solidify that second place status. And I think Leicester will obviously be scraping too. I think it's going to be really tough for that fourth place position this year. Should come down to the last weekend. So yeah, I think a little bit, but this is the competition that I think they're going to put all their eggs in their basket, especially in this first leg, very similar to what they did to Real Sociedad. And we could argue Manchester United's had the toughest road so far in the knockout rounds. Drawing Real Sociedad and then AC Milan is pretty ridiculous. So they're going to probably feel that's going to relax against Granada because they've got, you know, this team that has nothing to lose, massive underdogs. And sometimes those are harder teams to play than the ones that will go at you and play you even and straight up like Milan is kind of open on both sides. I do think they're going to try to put their flag in the ground right away, try to get a big early lead like they did against Real Sociedad. And that second leg becomes kind of dead. That's worked to great effect for them in previous matchups. And I suspect they're going to go for it and then hopefully have enough guys to be healthy for Tottenham. That game's just going to be ugly anyway. You can just already see it, Mourinho. But that'll be part of our preview for tomorrow.
Yeah. Granada, by the way, was going to be the 11th different Spanish side Man United have faced in major European competition. United is no stranger to facing Spanish sides. All right, so we're going for a sneaky United win here, all of us. Is that right?
Yep.
James?
Yep, for sure.
All right, so we got an Arsenal and a United in the parlay. I'm not seeing too much money coming back from that, Jimmy Conrad, unless we make it a little spicier coming up.
You're right. I got right now with those two teams winning, it's plus 148. So you bet 100 to win 148 or 10 to win $14.
All right. Well, let's go Ajax or Roma then.
Okay. This is an interesting one. As you guys know, both teams pretty good. I've got some fun facts about this and I'll find it eventually, but right now, the hosts will be Ajax. It's in Amsterdam for this one. Are looking to equal a record of 11 successive home wins in this competition, while the visitors, Roma, have won all four matches in this year's knockout phase, both home and away. So there's something to be said for that. And they took down a Shakhtar Donetsk that a lot of people feared, and they took down Braga, who prior to that, you know, you never know. You can't sleep on Portuguese teams in European competition. So I was actually pretty impressed with Roma so far. I just think Ajax have got the goods. They took down Lille 2-1 over both legs. Young boys played like young boys, and Ajax definitely showed that they were the men in that matchup. I'm just going to continue to use that joke till it dies, and then I resurrect it and continue to use it till it dies again. Ajax are unbeaten since December. They've won 18 out of their last 19 matches in all competitions. Roma have won only one of their last four. And at the weekend, they managed a 2-2 draw with Sassuolo. And what was interesting about that game was that Paulo Fonseca, the manager for Roma, they're currently in seventh, by the way, in the table. So they're not even in a European spot anymore. Lazio, their big rivals, have leapfrogged over them. He went with a 4-4-2. And I actually like two strikers. So I'm not opposed to that, but that's the first time he's used that formation all season. And if you're grasping at straws at this point to try to find the right formation for your guys, I'm not saying you lost the plot, but God damn, what's going on over there? That's my thoughts. So I'm leaning towards Ajax for all the reasons that I've just explained. Everything's trending in their direction. I think they know who they are. I think they know what their best lineup is. Whereas with Roma, you know, they can come out and slap you around, but they're also very inconsistent. And without Chris Smalling, their back line seems, I don't know, a little vulnerable. I feel like he does make a difference. And when he's not in there, I think it's evident. So I don't know. I'm not feeling Roma, even though I support them. They're my Serie A team. I think that Ajax are just better.
Yeah, and this is the last time they faced each other, by the way, was 2002, 2003 in the Champions League when Ajax won 2-1, James Benge. I'm seeing just Ajax's momentum continuing here. What do you think?
Well, I'm assuming that half the Roma team were playing back then anyway, because it is
yeah, exactly.
It's Europe's retirement home.
Yeah.
That's
for Brian Reynolds, by the way.
Well. Yeah, except Brian Reynolds, the whole youth movement of AS Roma.
Yeah,
I really like this Ajax team. I think, you know, young boys are one of those sticky Europa League teams that people take for granted and then get knocked out by. And they did a really impressive job on Lille. I think of the teams left, they're the highest in terms of per game XG, scoring per game. They look like a real force. They've got so many weapons to beat you. Antony and David Neres on the flanks. I mean, what I really like about Antony is that we're at that stage of Brazilian football naming where it's just sort of like the names of 1950s boys from the UK, like Antony, Joshua. I imagine there must be a Joshua.
Definitely.
I'm enjoying that.
Bill
Tadic as well. He's outstanding. We've seen him do it in European competitions. Brian Brobby, really hard name to say, but a really good player. I think this Ajax team might be the second best in the competition behind Man United. Happily, they're both probably going to be playing each other in the semi-finals. Yeah, In many ways, this is one of the ones I'm more confident on predicting. Quite a comfortable Ajax win. They're a really good team. So I look forward to Roma 2, Ajax 0.
Well, give us, Jimmy, very quickly, any betting tips? Because let's put Ajax in there.
No, I'm just going to throw Ajax into the parlay. That is jumps it up to plus 384.
Okay, so now we're talking.
If we have the two Premier League teams winning and Ajax winning, that is plus 384, which is pretty good value. And that leads us to Dinamo Zagreb versus Villarreal. Listen, I'm just going to make this one short and sweet. Villarreal are very good in this competition. They have a manager that knows how to win it in Unai Emery. Zagreb obviously came out of nowhere and shocked the world and themselves after their manager got thrown in jail, and they put three up on Tottenham to come back and win that one 3-2. Unbelievable performance. I think there will be somewhat of an emotional high or letdown after that type of thing. But Mislav Orsic, if you guys didn't see it, he had the hat trick in that one, a sublime hat trick, I'd like to add. So I just don't know about the Zagreb team. I think they're going to run into a very professional Villarreal team that knows how to get it done. There's an incredible stat about Gerard Moreno, who's something special, by the way, for the Yellow Submarine. He scored or assisted 21 goals in 13 games for Villarreal in 2021.
Yeah, fantastic.
If they can somehow slow down Gerard Moreno, they might have a chance. I just think this guy's on something different this season, and I've been really impressed with him in particular. And I'm just not going against Unai Emery. I'm just not going against him. So I'm going to throw Villarreal in the thing. But before I give you guys what that line looks like, I think they're going to win. I wanted to hear you guys' thoughts on this.
Yeah, well, Benj, Villarreal are unbeaten in this season in Europa League, winning 9 times, drawing only once. Also, Dinamo Zagreb, by the way, have only won just one of their 14 games against Spanish opposition. But guess who that was against? Villarreal, but it was back in 2010. So, but everything's pointing to El Submarino Amarillo. What do you say, James Bench?
And yet, is it all pointing to El Submarino?
Oh, what are you doing, James? Are you going to ruin our parlay, James Bench?
Clearly, they're the favorites. Clearly, if you're putting a bet on with the intention of actually winning your money back and a bit of extra, you should bet on Villarreal. But,
okay.
This Dinamo Zagreb team is really good. I saw them in the first leg, which they lost comprehensively, but were really good against Tottenham. Lovely build up play. Lovro Majer, young Croatian midfielder with Luka Modric's hair and Luka Modric's brain. I don't know how they've done it, but by God, they've resurrected Luka Modric before.
That's amazing.
Mislav Orsic, he does it in this competition consistently. Not just this season, he's done it in past years. In the end, he's something that any defender hates playing. He's electric pace. Petkovic, he puts himself about a bit. He's difficult. The sort of defender, a striker that would really annoy the life out of defenders. So, like, yes, look, maybe this is just that, you know, as an Arsenal fan, my history with Unai Emery is checkered, and I'd rather not see him again at the Emirates Stadium. But Dinamo Zagreb are really good at football. I think they've got a good chance here. I mean, you know, you guys parlay on your easy money, Villarreal and the English teams, but you'll be watching the game thinking, oh, man, I wish I'd backed Benj. I wish I'd trusted him and parlayed on Dinamo Zagreb.
Well, no, I tell you what, if we do that, we're going to get fired because we're trying to get people money and you're completely ruining the narrative. But you make a very good point. You know, it's not a coincidence that Zagreb is here. But Jimmy, just put in Villarreal in there. I just want to see what that gives back.
Okay, so if we have Man United winning, Villarreal winning, Ajax winning, and Arsenal winning, that pays plus 843.
That's very good.
It's pretty good when we're basically picking all the favorites to win.
But we could do this, right? Let's see. Let's please both of you. Let's say Arsenal draws, and let's say Zagreb wins, which I just don't think is going to happen.
Well, Zagreb's not going to win. I might listen to Benj and say a draw, but I don't know. I think that of the four games, I think one will be a draw. I really do. We'd have to decide which one it's going to be. So if I put those in as draws with Man United and Ajax winning, that pays. We bet $100. We'll win $4,100.
See, I love that.
That is next level. We're definitely going to Vegas if that hits.
Well, let's do it. A cheeky $10 in there.
Wait. I just think we should do one draw. I don't know if we should do both. I think Villarreal is going to win. I think the draw is going to be with Arsenal.
Let's do this. Let's do two parlays. Let's do one where Arsenal wins, United wins,
Ajax wins,
but
Zagreb and Villarreal draw.
Yes. And then let's do the other one where it's all wins.
Okay. The one that's all wins is +843. The one with Villarreal drawing is +1500.
I mean, come on, Benj. You got to be happy with that, right? I mean, we're telling you that your Zagreb's going to get a draw.
This is the Benj parlay, by the way, because he gets his draw with. Maybe you want Dinamo Zagreb to win. I don't know if you want that, Benj.
I know. I think a draw is fair. They'll win the second leg.
See? Okay, we got two parlays then. It's two parlays.
Okay, so we have one where we pick all the favorites to win.
Yep.
That's +843, and then we have this one, the Benj parlay, which was the only thing that changes is the draw between Zagreb and Villarreal.
Yep.
Then that is +1500.
We're going to Vegas, baby. We're going. Oh yeah. All right. Listen, before we leave, everybody, I want to do something with Jimmy and James very quickly. I just want to give me your final. Well, give me your semifinals and final. So, you know, just think about it for a second. But as we're talking and figuring it all out, I want you to give me just what the outcome's going to be. And I guess if you feel brave enough, give me your champion. I can tell you mine in third, you know, after I ask you if you want. Like, that's how confident I am of what's going to happen. Let's go with you, James Bench. What say you? What's your semifinals?
Well, like you, I've already filed mine, so I know, I know how this is going to work.
So open that PDF. And
so I have, despite what I've just been saying, I have Arsenal against Villarreal in one final.
Yep.
And I have Manchester United against semi-final and Manchester United against Ajax in the other semi-final.
Okay, stop right there because that's exactly mine. Okay, let's stay in semi-finals. Jimmy?
So
just semi-finals, Jimmy. Just semifinals.
I understand. I do think it'll be Manchester United-Ajax in one semi-final.
We're all in agreement there.
Yes. So I thought Villarreal will definitely be in there. I think there could be one upset. I think there could be one. And I think that Slavia Prague has the best chance.
James Bench, he doesn't have Arsenal in the semifinals.
No, I do. I want to see it. I already said it. Listen, I prefaced the whole, I'm wearing an Arsenal scarf and a Villarreal jersey. That's what I want to see because the narratives there are just too amazing. I want to see that. I just want to throw in there that I think Slavia Prague could upset another British team.
And
Arsenal just could Arsenal. And that's all I'm going to say. But I want to see Arsenal go through. So I'll say Arsenal Villarreal, which means we're all in agreement.
So we all have the semifinals that we think is going to happen. All right, let's go with your final then. James Bench, give me your final.
Arsenal Man United. So I've done the other bracket as well.
Me too. I have it all Premier League. Me too.
All English.
Yeah. Yep.
People are going to think I'm some little wee Britain English idiot. But watch me be right.
Watch me. All right. So you have Arsenal, Manchester United in the Europa League final. Jimmy Conrad, what say you?
Arsenal is not getting past Villarreal. That's what I'm going to start with. So I'm going to say Villarreal in the final. And I'll go Manchester United over Ajax. So United versus Villarreal.
That's a tasty one. That's exactly my final because I want Unai Emery redemption. How dare you minimize him because, he doesn't speak your precious Queen's English. Guess what? He is the king of this tournament. I want Arsenal in the semis and I want a good game, but I want Unai Emery to taste the sweet, sweet sugars of redemption against Arsenal. It's not going to happen anymore. But I did have an old Premier League final in this one, but then I thought, no, Unai Emery. So I have Villarreal, Manchester United. Everybody has Manchester United in the final, by the way.
I wouldn't sleep on this Ajax team, though. I mean, that one will be very close. If Ajax got through, I wouldn't be surprised. But I think Manchester United might just have a little bit more.
Yeah, are we putting too much confidence on this Manchester United squad, James Bench?
100%. Even though my name's not James Bench, I'm going to say 100%.
No, I know.
Yeah, what Jimmy said.
Yeah. All right, everybody. Well, that's our Europa League preview. I hope that you use those parlays. Oh, yeah. Did I not say the winners? James Bench, who wins this whole thing?
Right. So first of all, I'm not an optimistic, blind faith fan of my football club.
You are so going to pick Arsenal. You absolutely.
Mikel Arteta has never lost to Manchester United. He has never lost to them. Ladies and gentlemen, Arsenal, your Europa League champions.
What is Ben's drink? What are you drinking today? Can you share that with the rest of us?
The underlying
Kool-Aid you're drinking has got some flavor to it.
Jimmy, Kieran Tierney is going to get out of the hospital. And he's just going to...
Oh, my.
All right. Yeah. You have Arsenal winning the Europa League. What say you, Jimmy Conrad?
Listen, it's Europa League. That means a La Liga team is going to win it. I'm going to say Villarreal.
Villarreal winning it. And I say Manchester United.
Wow, we're all on different...
We are. But and watch Zagreb win the whole thing. Just wait. But that's it. That's our Europa League preview. I hope you enjoyed it. Before we leave, I want final thoughts from these two lovely gentlemen. James Benj, begin with you. Nothing about Arsenal. Give me something else.
It's not about Arsenal at all. If you go on cbssports.com now, you can read my interview with Harvey Elliott.
Very good. Please read it. Yeah.
He's brilliant. If you go on cbssports.com on Friday, you can read my piece with Daryl DK.
I love what you mean, your best friend, Daryl DK.
Man, we're friends now. We text.
Yeah, your text friends. Yeah, are you sending each other Instagram messages? Oh, no,
my phone's just buzzed. It's not him.
it's his mom saying, leave him alone, please. Yeah. Jimmy Conrad, final thoughts.
I just wanted to say congratulations to Man City and Kevin De Bruyne. He just signed a new contract that will put him with the club through 2025. He's 29 years old. So hopefully he doesn't fall down the same. This is me throwing some Arsenal shade down the same path as signing an older player who might be past it, even though we all know Kevin De Bruyne is not past it. But once they got the big contract, things changed. Mesut Ozil didn't play so well after the big contract. Pierre-Emerick Aubameyang didn't play so well after the big contract. That said, I think Kevin De Bruyne is obviously in a different setup with some pretty good players around him. So I don't think it'll make too much of a difference. But it is very cool for City to be able to build around a player that has clearly, I don't think he's hit his peak yet. I mean, he is very special.
Do you think Zinchenko went in his place to sign the contract?
Macaulay Culkin from Home Alone.
Yeah,
came in.
Yeah, exactly. Kevin De Bruyne, one of the best midfielders ever at this point now, James?
Ever is a strong word.
Ever.
I think in terms of the way, it's certainly one of the best of his generation in terms of like the way he plays, that sort of, you know, hybrid of a number 10 and a number 8 and a right winger. We've not seen many like him of his level. He's one of the best I can remember in the post Zidane era.
Jimmy?
His passing's unbelievable. I love how he picks up the ball in the half turn and then immediately knows whether to run into space with it or to make that weighted pass, you know, that just eludes defenders by like an inch. It's unbelievable. And he does it consistently. It's not like it's once a game. It's like six or seven of those passes in every half. And you're like, dude, what? This guy's just made up a different sauce, man. Different gravy, that guy.
Yeah. And he just looks like such a nice guy. Somebody that would tip above 20% if you win it. Don't you think? Like, he just feels like that kind of person. So well done, Kevin De Bruyne. I'm very happy for you. All right, everybody. That's it. Thank you so much. Jimmy, thank you, brother.
Thank you. And thank you for having the patience with me as I wear an Arsenal scarf and a VAL jersey.
Hey, listen, we have James Benj here. So, you know, we need all the patience we can get. James Benj, thank you, my friend.
Unbelievable. You'll never see me again.
Thank you, everybody. Everybody, I want to thank James Benj and Jimmy Conrad for joining me today. Don't forget to follow us on Apple Podcasts. Leave a rating and review. Leave a 5-star rating and review. We love to hear your comments and see them and read them. We are on Spotify. We're on Stitcher, YouTube, CBSSports.com. Enjoy the games. And don't forget, we have plenty more, including El Clásico preview. So much more to look ahead to. Have a great day.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and 3-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.